Now, one of the cool things, there's a little demonstration that Ismael and his group does during their presentation, and I hope I'm not giving too much away here, Ismael, but it always totally blows my mind. He has a video of a human being at the moment of death, Jerry, and you can and it's being filmed by the special camera that shows the energy level within that body. And as that person is passing on, you see that energy slowly ebb out of the body. Now, that is so impressive to me. Where does that energy go? This is the age-old question that human beings have asked themselves for countless centuries. Where does that energy go? We know that that energy is not lost. That energy goes somewhere. And just like in the Marfa light phenomenon, the UFO encounters that we've read and seen stories about, there are energies which are beyond our understanding that are at work here, that are at play. And what Ismael and his group are doing that is just absolutely staggering to me is they are trying to determine, what these energies are, how exactly they operate in our world, within our senses, and within the abilities of these new technologies to detect. And this is what is so remarkable about this. And we know that the area of the state of Texas where we're having this UFO conference, it wasn't something that we just picked at random. It is a place that's very special, and we have access to energies there in that area of the world that are not available anywhere on Earth. This is a very special place. So this is a unique event in many, many different ways.
Ishmael, do you think these lights are living creatures? I mean, what's your hunch?
That's a very good question. It's a phenomenon, to my opinion, it's a phenomenon that it could have some type of intelligence. It's like everything, part of us being humans is to explore the mysterious. And we see things, we put this as a paranormal, unexplained, and it's just something that we are studying. Inside me, I can tell you, as an open mind person of this, that I think this is energy with intelligence. When they turn off with a laser, and then they interact with the laser, and then they play around, and then they don't want to be seen, and they turn off. We still have that edge of the technology that we can continue seeing how they interact, and it's another world, the infrared world of camera, the way we have it. It's a good recipe of technology for the viewers to take another step into the unknown. It's just amazing.
Now, when they blink out or dim out and you're still able to make out something, do they change shapes or do they have a shape
Yes,
at all?
they change shapes. They're more of a sphere, of an orb, and when they move, they leave a streak of light energy, like it's more like some type of luminescence of energy, similar to a streak, like I mentioned earlier, of like a little comet moving around, and all that energy it vanishes while it's traveling to the left, when it moves to the right, and when it manifests to be very bright, you'll see that this illuminates a lot of light. We're thinking of approximately, and this is not correct, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're estimating approximately about 400 watts of light to 800, because they're super far away. You're talking about 20 miles, 15, 20 miles, and then they light up like fire, and then they dissipate.
It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen, Jerry. I can remember vividly, as Ismael's talking about them, I remember vividly the very first time I saw them light up. We were on a vacation to the area. My family and I were standing there, very skeptical. We had heard about these. We thought they were fables, old wives' tales. And then the first one lit up and started spinning. And they kind of oscillate. And there's multiple colors in there. And they, some of them appear on the desert floor. Some of them appear up at the top of the peaks. Some of them appear in the middle. There doesn't seem to be a random, and it seems to be kind of random, but I've always thought maybe there would be a way to correlate. Maybe there's some kind of message trying to be communicated by the way in which they blink on and off, change colors, change shapes, move up and down, move left and right. Sometimes you'll get simultaneously several of them will appear all in a row, and then they'll wink off. And, you know, it's just an incredible spectacle to behold.
They also multiply. From one, you'll have the divide in two and three. And like Mr. Noah just mentioned, they change color to light green, to an amber orange, slightly red. You know, it's spectacular. So I can't wait to go to be here, I mean, to be there at the 18th of this month.
The other thing I was going to add is we have always speculated, Jerry, about the possibility of beings who are composed not of flesh and blood and skin, but of energy, some form of energy that does not require them to take a solid form at all times. You know, in fact, a lot of our folk tales and legends, a lot of our religious beliefs even have in them stories of beings who exist on a different plane than we do, beyond the flesh and blood. From what Ismael's experiments show and some of the other work that he and other groups like him, his, are doing, you know, we seem to be getting a slightly little better grasp at understanding this realm that's beyond the physical and that seems to be composed mainly of energy, but it's an energy that seems to have an intelligence to it. That's the amazing thing.
So in summary about the Martha lights, before we go to some other subjects here, I'd like to get both of yours, agreement or non-agreement. It's more than likely not any kind of spaceport or something like that. This is a living, for lack of a better term, paranormal or supernatural happening that is native to that particular area and always stays in that same place, in a zone, so to speak.
Well, it is one of several areas on the Earth where these strange, mysterious orbs appear. We've actually, and I've done research on this, there's a number of places on the planet where similar phenomena occur. There's a place in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom, and there's a couple of other places. So, I mean, this phenomenon of the Marfa lights, yes, it's unique to Texas, West Texas, and to the Big Bend area, to the Marfa area. As far as our you know, as far as North America, but there are a few other spots on Earth where these strange energies are appearing. So it's a well-known phenomenon that has occurred for has been known for centuries, you know, in other places.
How long have they been seen there, Ishmael? Do you have a history? Do you know, forever or?
You're asking me how long we've been investigating?
I mean, you'd like, did they see them in 1930, 1920, last century?
They have actually been seen since the 1800s, Jerry, the cowboys in the area. The very first people that came, the ranchers and the cattlemen of the late 1800s, would see these things off in the distance, and they called them Apache campfires. They thought, you know, because this was the area of the Apache Indians, the Comanches, they would run all through here and run down into northern Mexico. And this was a regular trail where the Apaches and other tribes would frequently travel. So the early settlers of that region believed these to be campfires that were lit by the Indians. And we have some stories that have been recorded by local historians over the years about the early settlers going out to try to find these campfires and these Indians. Well, as soon as they'd ride up in their horses and they get close to the lights, they disappear. They were no longer visible. So, I mean, people, a lot of skeptics, Jerry, the noisy negativists, as Stanton Friedman refers to them, are saying that these are nothing more than the headlights of cars that are traveling along the highway between Marfa and Presidio, and they somehow the beams of light get reflected by clouds or atmospheric conditions, and that's all it is, car headlights. Well, I hate to break it to them, but in the 1800s, there weren't any car headlights around, and there were no roads, by the way.
Okay, let's move on to some of the other things, Ishmael, that you've been doing. And Noy mentioned something earlier about this giant triangle. Tell me a little bit about that, both of you. When was that seen?
It was October 23rd of last year. It was almost a year ago. Mm-hmm. We were in the northeast of Laredo, Texas, and we were stargazing. We were filming the night sky, and we got something in our field of view and on our camera that had no combustion sound, no propulsion sound, and it was cloaked with this infrared light, and you couldn't see it with your naked eye. It was triangular, and it had spheres in each corner of the triangle. And this craft was moving about, I can say, well, the size of it's about 100 feet. Radius, triangle by volume, I can tell you, and it was moving from north bound going to west of Laredo, and it was one of the most amazing videos we have ever captured. We had this video analyzed by the Department of Justice, a videographer. He saw the video, and he put some filters to analyze the video to see the structure of it. And more he dig into, he discovered that it was more triangular, and he couldn't understand the temperatures that had this video on the film. And he was astonished, and we got a witness statement from his behalf that this was unexplained. You know, it could be a drone, sophisticated from the military, it's a possibility, or actual, an extraterrestrial vehicle, you know, harvesting or flying over our night sky. What, you know, I've been doing a lot of research on drones and military, and all of them that I know that I've seen have combustion. You can hear them. This one had no sound and had no propulsion sound, and it was just flying, and we were able to catch it at the right time, at the right moment. And one thing we tell the people that we, you know, when we do these investigations, always use a tripod. And you have a clearer picture, and then, you know, you get all excited and you have it in your hand. You see the jiggies and you don't get a clear picture. This one was just perfect.
It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I need to add, it just was gliding effortlessly through the sky. It's just graceful, even, almost like a living organism. But when Ismael showed me the videos where some filters had been applied to it, it was very clear that this was a symmetrical object. It had raised protuberances on each of the corners of the triangle. It was very clearly a manufactured, and probably most likely not on this Earth, but it was very clearly a manufactured object that moved using some kind of aerodynamics that we are totally unaware of. And if we had the technology that this object exhibited, you know, the U.S. would be the just leaps and bounds ahead of where we are in terms of warfare, because it just cannot be seen with a naked eye, and there's no sound, there's no combustion. It's just obviously it's not one of ours. I mean, I that's just my personal opinion, but it's obviously nothing that we have the capabilities to reproduce at the present time.
when we talk about this craft and where you describe it, Noah, and also Ismail, it was going in a certain direction. You got some military reservations down there and some experimental places. Do you think it could have been headed that way, not necessarily being one of ours, even just a landing zone or something?
Well,
I mean, we have no way of knowing, of course.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm a deputy warden. I work with law enforcement, and I work close ties with what was going on in our areas and everything. But as soon as we showed this to Fox News, and they made a nationwide of this craft captured, within the 2 weeks, we had about 15 helicopters stationed here in Laredo, Texas. So once I started walking on the streets here in Laredo, Texas, had a bunch of friends of mine, hey, I got all this helicopter because it's your fault. You know, you put this in the news, and I can't sleep. You know, what are they doing here? And we had a lot of questions arise that there was that triangular UFO that was captured in Laredo. That's why they had the military investigating. But that's something I cannot prove, but, you know, we did have. It was too much of a coincidence, or actually we had the military involvement on analyzing this event that happened here in Laredo.
There's the other thing that happened also, Ismail and Jerry, is that as soon as that story hit the national wires, very impressive photographs taken by Ismail, video footage, all of a sudden there were all the naysayers and noisy negativists started making all these negative put downs about it on all the blogs and stuff. It's almost as if they're just waiting for any incident that cannot be explained that brings highly credible information out to the public, and they immediately start spewing out their propaganda to make sure that so that the public is, so that their fears are assuaged, and so that nobody gets alarmed, and so that everybody really believes that we are in control of our own skies, which many people dispute, including myself. But it was just so interesting to see the negativism propaganda machine suddenly come to life as soon as Ismail posted those pictures and those videos. And to me, that, to me, more than anything, Jerry, because I know how these things work, and so do you, that means that Ismael's work has struck a nerve somewhere, as does the appearance of the helicopters.
Ismail, you're a law enforcement agent. You work for the federal government or the state of Texas, or who?
I work for the Department of Corrections, the correctional. The subcontract with the marshals.
Mm-hmm.
Also work with other agencies, local here in Laredo, Texas. I'm a deputy warden. I've been doing that for almost.
Reason I ask, I wanted to make that clear to everybody, what you did, because the first, I don't doubt the bloggers, and I don't doubt any of this stuff, and the helicopters, I don't doubt either. I just wondered if you got some kind of official. Notice that, hey, Ismail wants you to go talk about something else.
No. I had a lot of support from the law enforcement community because we use, we're very modest to our research, and we open up to the public's opinion. Although we did hit 175,000 viewers in YouTube, but I can tell you that we had more positives. The negatives. I think we're in the hundreds versus 25 negative comments. They're all, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but we had more positives in other areas. And because, they don't see the technology, it hasn't been exposed. You're talking about combination of lenses combined with, you have the best of a lens combined with a monocular that has the capabilities of gathering light. And then you have an eyepiece behind it, and then you have a recorder behind it, and all combined, you have an eagle eye of the night. So we're barely hitting the tip of the iceberg of a good breakthrough that night vision would be perfect for the ufologist of the future, and not only that, projecting it for the audience on a projector. So
we'll be doing more shows about this since we're an official sponsor of the Border Zone Conference. Right now we need to stress that the thing actually gets underway at 9 a.m. on Friday. Is that correct? And goes through Saturday night with Stanton Friedman each evening at 6:30.
Yes, that's correct. Actually, on Friday night, Stan will start his presentation at 6:30. He's going to give a remarkable presentation called Man's Place in the Universe. And it's all about how much our understanding of the world and the universe has changed in the last 20 or 30 years. It's remarkable. We've gone from believing the Earth to be at the center of the universe to now suddenly realizing that there are millions of potential Earth-like planets just in our own neighborhood, billions perhaps in our own galaxy. So that's...
I have to ask you, Noy, is this expensive to go to, or is it free, or what?
The lecture series is completely free, Jerry.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't want to plug it. I just wanted to make sure, because it's so incredible that you're able to offer all of this.
Yeah, we want people in all the neighboring cities, Marfa, Presidio, Alpine, over in Fort Stockton, Fort Davis, even perhaps as far away as Midland and El Paso. We want them to come on down and take advantage of, I mean, how many times are you going to get to see the world's most famous UFO researcher, Stanton Friedman, give two outstanding lectures of nearly 2 hours duration each for free, along with all the other things that we've been talking about?
And we'll have all of that video available live.
Right, it's an amazing opportunity.
And also, I'm sure there'll be some other things on demand that we'll be offering as well.
Absolutely.
End up on YouTube, probably.
Well, it'll be on our websites for sure, on your website and ours. So, I mean, this is
speaking of websites, we'll get some websites we need to plug here.
Sure.
Ishmael, how about your website?
Our website is LaredoPRS.com. Or LaredoUFO.com.
And knowing, give yours again. We know it, but you tell it.
Okay, UFOBorderZone.com. That's UFO and then BorderZone, all together, all lowercase, .com.
And you can go to JerryPepin.com and run into the program highlights window, where we'll have links to it anyway already. We have a banner there for the conference. You click on there and you go to our page, which also will spotlight the live events and the live links and several interviews, including this one will end up there too, as well as at Inception Radio. Thanks a lot for being on, both of you. Any closing comments?
Well, I just want to invite everyone, Jerry, to either come on down to Presidio and Marfa and enjoy this wonderful conference, or you can watch it live on the internet. I mean, this is a great opportunity. It's totally cost free, and we're just trying to do something to expand the knowledge.
And we're working, and you're working very hard to get the top quality sound to go with that video, so people can see it all.
Absolutely, we're going to have top quality sound and video streaming live from Presidio, and it's all going to be available through the links that you provide there, Jerry.
Okay, thank you very much, both of you, and we'll be following up a lot of this. And Noy and Ishmael, we never let people go that are interesting, so we'll have you back soon.
I'd like to be back soon. Thank you, sir.
It's a pleasure
and,
to be on.
And, folks,
yes.
I'm Jerry Pippin. This is the UFO Show.